And we are back on Sides Uncovered. Took a couple weeks off, but we're back again, talking everything that goes on in this crazy ass world of college sports. Today, gonna talk about the job openings because we've got like a ton of them at this point. I've never seen this many mid-season firings. We'll get to that. Obviously, gonna talk games of the week, our picks of the week, and then we're gonna end up with our money line parlay of the week. But we're gonna start with this. Because it's something that I think has been permeating college football for probably the last month or so. And it's this talk of blue bloods. And whether it be, Florida, LSU, Penn State, even Auburn fans trying to say they're one at, kind of one of those I digress type things. And obviously, all of this goes around Lane Kiffin because that's where it centers. He's at Ole Miss, a non-traditional power. And power's probably even they're non-traditional in the terms of they're not usually as good as they've been the last probably 5 years. And everybody wants to say where he's definitely going to Florida because Florida's the blue blood. And even look, Lane Kiffin even said that in an article with Ross Dellinger that he thinks Florida's a blue blood. I don't though. And a lot of people are going to say, how can you say that? How can you say this is Florida? This is Steve Spurrier throwing it around. It's Urban Meyer. Okay, great. Name me another great Florida coach. You want to say Dan? I'd agree. They ran him off 3.5 years. I mean, you want to say Muschamp? You want to say Zook? You want to say anybody, Ray Graves? I might agree with you, Ray Graves. But I mean, look at the record. He wasn't great. He was good. He wasn't great, though. He was not Spurrier and Meyer. I mean, look at Florida's coaches since Spurrier. We'll actually start there. I mean, you could technically start at Meyer, but I mean, I'm gonna start at Spurrier. So, you run this back, and I mean, it's man. I mean, okay, Ray Graves was pretty good. He's 70-31. We said that. Doug Dickey, 58-43. That'd get him fired today in today's day and age. Charlie Pell, 33-26. That'd get him fired. Galen Hall, he's pretty good. 40-18. He was not bad at all. I mean, he wasn't. But guess what they did? Fired him. Now, granted, kind of had to because he got on probation. But I mean, that's the thing. Then Spurrier, 122-27, elite. So we'll start there. Ron Zook, 23-14, fired. Urban Meyer, elite, 65-15, left on his own. Will Muschamp, 28-21, fired. Jim McElwain, 22-12, and went to back-to-back SEC championship games, fired. Dan Mullen, 34-15, went to three straight New Year's Six Bowls and went to an SEC championship. Fired. Billy Napier, 22-23, fired. That's not a blue blood. It's not. That is a school still trying to replace a coach that last coached there in 2001. So, yeah, Lane Kiffin can say Florida's a blue blood, and that's his right to say that. He grew up in an era when Florida was a blue blood. They got every player they wanted. They won a bunch of games. They ran an offense that no one runs. They don't do any of that anymore, unless you want to say that no one runs a bad offense. And in that case, yeah, Florida's got them beat by a mile. But, I mean, recruiting's not the same anymore. In 2015, I probably agree with you, Florida was a blue blood because traditional recruiting still ruled, and traditionally recruits do like going to Florida. But with the portal, you don't need that. With NIL, they're not going to these traditional powers. They're going to whoever gives them the most money. They are. So I don't know. I mean, do I think Florida is a blue blood right now? No, I do not. And if you ask me if I was Lane Kiffin, and by the way, this is coming from a Mississippi State fan, I should be the one that's screaming from the rooftops that Lane Kiffin needs to go to Florida. I don't care personally. I like to beat coaches when they're full. I don't want teams to start suffering and then we beat them and then be, oh, we beat them. Congrats. You didn't beat them when they were at their best. Kind of a hollow victory. But saying that, if you were to ask me, does Lane Kiffin need to go to Florida? No, he doesn't. He has complete autonomy at Ole Miss. They will pay him a whatever he wants. They will probably name the stadium after him if he wanted that. Hell, they may make him the athletic director. They will do whatever it takes to keep Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin can go 0-12 the next 2 years. He could lose the next two games by a combined 200 points. Ole Miss want him back. All aboard the Lane train. They'd buy into the hype. And you know why I know that? Because they did it after 2022 when they tanked their season because of the Auburn stuff. He loses to Arkansas, loses to Mississippi State, loses to Texas Tech. Guess what? They were bought back in for 2023. He goes to Florida and goes 9-3 next year and misses the playoff. His seat gets warm. He goes 8-4 the next year, he's on the hot seat. He goes 8-4 the next year, he's fired. You do that at Ole Miss, you get a statue built after a while. I don't see in what logical world it makes sense to leave Ole Miss to go to Florida. At Ole Miss, you are the king, literally. They've made your dog the mascot. Literally have made Juice Kiffin is the unofficial mascot of Ole Miss. He is. Are they going to run him out there with a gator against Florida with Florida? No. The Florida fans are going to think that's corny. They're going to hate it because the first time he loses, it's going to be because he's on Twitter all the time. At Ole Miss, yeah, you have crazy fans who say that, but for the most part, they don't care. That's my opinion. I don't think Florida's a blue blood, and I think in this new day and age of college football, I don't know that, but there's like four or five blue bloods. And I don't really think it matters if you're a blue blood anymore. I don't think they exist. I think the parity in college football has eliminated the blue blood. Obviously, yes, there are teams that have built-in advantages. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, who, yes, LSU's a blue blood despite the fact that their governor is a freaking idiot. He is an absolute idiot, and we'll get to that in a second. But, I mean, Oregon, that blue blood. Ohio State, blue blood. Like, yes, those are the bluest of blue bloods. They have built-in advantages. But if you told me Ohio State went 7-5, I wouldn't be shocked because it can happen in this day and age of college football. We're not going to get bogged down too much on that one. We're going to move on to the job openings and kind of the things I'm hearing and kind of putting together with Florida. It begins and ends with Lane Kiffin. If he doesn't take that job, I don't know what they're going to do. Because they have put every egg into the Lane Kiffin basket. I mean, if they don't get him, whoever comes in is starting behind the eight ball immediately. Immediately. If they don't, I think it's Eli Drinkwitz or Jed Fish. I think Eli is also in position to get another job, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But look, The Florida job, you can't discuss that opening without talking about Lane Kiffin. You can't. That is where this thing begins and ends. It will be a complete reset in Gainesville if they do not get Lane Kiffin. And look, right now they're pretty confident. They were really confident yesterday. The confidence seems to have not so much wavered on their side as much as it seems to have increased a bit on the Ole Miss side. Neil McCready and Chase Parham both putting out stuff today that seems to think that Lane has actually not made a decision, which, okay. Yeah, like no crap, he hadn't made a decision. He's not going to. Not right now. He's not going to make a decision where he's coaching next year with two games at minimum left in this season. But, you know, I don't know. There was an article. Ross Dellinger wrote a great article this morning, or came out this morning, with Lane. Obviously, we referenced the Blue Blood quote earlier. And you know, Lane was pretty candid in it. I have not read the whole thing. I've read snippets here and there, but he's pretty candid that, you know, if you would have told him 5 years ago that this would be his last stop, he would have said no. And now he said, yeah, maybe. I don't know, and we'll have 10 more podcasts between now and Thanksgiving about why he is or isn't leaving. It's just how it is. But right now, you can't discuss another candidate with that job because it's Lane. I mean, that's candidate A, B, and C right now. Moving on, though, to the LSU job. I don't know who's getting this one. Obviously, we referenced Jeff Landry being a freaking idiot, and that is so true because he just royally ticked everyone off with his comment. They still have the Brian Kelly stuff held over their heads. You know, I'd heard Joe Brady was a possible candidate there. I think the big wrench there is that Joe Brady is represented by Trace Armstrong. Trace Armstrong's other big client, you guessed it, Brian Kelly. I've heard John Sumrall's name thrown around there. I think there's some probably prominent LSU boosters in New Orleans that would like John to become the coach at LSU. I do not see that happening. I think John's going to get another job in the SEC, which we'll talk about in a second. The name I just keep hearing kind of on the back burner is Lincoln Riley. If you had to ask me to put $5 on it today, I'd say Lincoln Riley's going to be the next head coach at LSU. Who LSU wanted in 2021. And I think the SC stuff has kind of run its course. I think he wants back in the SEC, back in the South, back in that recruiting base. Like I said, if you had to make me bet $5 on it right now, that's probably who I put my money on. I don't think it's Brady. Obviously, look, LSU's going to make a run at Lane. Lane wanted the job in 19, he wanted it in 21. Or wanted it, my bad. Wanted it in 17 or 18, whenever Ed, yeah, wanted it in 17 when Ed got it. Wanted it in 21, I think really bad. And didn't get it then either. I don't know. I don't think they're going to pull Lane. I think that there's a lot of consistency in that reporting that Lane is not going to be the coach at LSU next year. I think LSU would love Lane, and I think Lane will get an, or Jimmy Sexton will get an offer from LSU for Lane, but I don't ultimately think he gets the job. Obviously, the name that's been all over the place the last week's been Nick Saban. He was the came out BetAG came out with their odds on who the coach, and Nick Saban's at like 2-1. I would be blown away. Blown away if the next head coach at LSU is Nick Saban. In the words of Matt Moscona, with all this stuff, you know, believe nothing, consider everything. So obviously you consider, I mean, could they offer Saban 20 mil a year for 3 years? Yeah, they could. And he might take that. He loved his time in Baton Rouge. They would love him. I think he would get those crazy Cajuns fired back up again. I mean, look, their fan base when Nick was there was rowdy. I think Nick would get that back, but I don't think it's Saban. Look, like I said, I think John Summerall could be a candidate there. I think Kenny Dillingham could be a candidate there But if you had to ask me right now, it's Lincoln. I think that the hire is Lincoln Riley. It also could be Joe Brady because they could get this Brian Kelly stuff worked out, this weekend. Next job, Auburn. I think this one's pretty straightforward. Unless DJ Durkin wins the Iron Bowl, I think the hire's John Summerall. John just makes too much sense. He coached at Troy. His wife's an Auburn grad. He's really, really well respected by the high school coaches in that state. That's just kind of the way I see it. I heard Brent Key's name really early in this thing, that's who they were kind of they had there he had a lot of support. I've heard Kenny Dillingham's name be thrown around. I think both those guys would be fine. I've heard Jimbo Fisher's name thrown around. Also, by the way, I heard his name thrown around with LSU. Don't think that's happening either. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day that hires John. I do. I think John will do a very, very good job at Auburn. Will he do enough for their crazy fan base? I do not know. But I think he'll do a very good job there. Next job's Penn State. I think this one kind of got overshadowed by Florida and by LSU. I think they're kind of taking all the oxygen right now. I've heard Eli Drinkwitz mentioned a lot with this job. He kind of seems to be candidate A at this point. If you had to ask me if there's a candidate B, Manny Diaz would make some sense. What he's doing at Duke, they can't win a non-conference game, but they're killing it in conference. I don't know. It feels like a lot of people are going to let LSU and Florida close on their person before they go. They push their chips to somebody. Because look, Lane Kiffin can't coach everywhere, despite some Mississippi State fans wanting him to. He cannot coach everywhere. Arkansas, I've heard a lot of different stuff out of that one. I've heard some really interesting names this week. The name that kind of has permeated for about the last week, it's the name I started hearing last Friday, was James Franklin. And he was making some really, really, really wild NIL demands. Arkansas, I know, was having to kind of get some people or get some money involved. But I think if Arkansas got involved, I think they could get it done. I don't know. That'll be an interesting one to see kind of where that one ends up. I think Arkansas probably regrets hiring Sam looking back because, I think they had really, really zeroed in on Lane. I think they thought they had Lane, to be honest, in 19. Obviously didn't get him. Alex Galesh, I think, probably has a shot there as well, if they can't get Franklin. I don't know. That's one of those jobs that I think all these the LSU, the Florida, the Auburn, probably the Penn State's going to be filled before all Arkansas figures out who they want to go get. I've heard PJ Fleck's name thrown around with that job some as well. Also heard his name thrown around with the Auburn job. So that could be an interesting name to watch for the Arkansas job. Last job, Virginia Tech. That kind of seems like it's James Franklin, or they have absolutely no clue what they're going to do. Beamer was a hot name early. I think that's faded with how South Carolina's season has gone. If I was Shane Beamer, I would be trying like hell to get that job, though, because you can kind of reset your honeymoon clock in a way with getting that job. I don't know. It seems like they are all in on James Franklin. Them and Arkansas really both. So it's kind of going to be the James Franklin sweepstakes there. But we will see. I think the big job, one big job left that could open up is it's Florida State. And if that's the case, I don't know who they go after. Because because Mike Alford wanted Lane Kiffin. That's who he was going to go after last time was Lane. I don't think they can get Lane this time. Such like Auburn can't get Lane this time. So I will be very interested to see who goes there. Back to the Arkansas job for just a second. I had heard for months really that Rhett Lashley was going to be the candidate there. Obviously, he shocks a lot of people, stays at SMU. Gus Malzahn could be a name in Arkansas. If they miss on a couple of candidates, I think they could convince Gus to come back for 2 years. I also would watch Kendall Briles. I'm not saying he gets it. There's some people who really like him there. I'll say that. Moving on now, because we could probably talk about that for 2 years. Games of the week. We'll start with Notre Dame Pitt. Why did College Game Day pick this game? Like, really, why? I'm being serious. Like, why did College Game Day pick this game? Notre Dame's going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. Maybe this is like a appease McAfee thing. I don't know. This is not going to be a competitive game. Notre Dame, to their credit, has looked really good the last since week two against A&M. I mean, you look at what they've done since that game. I mean, and if you're Notre Dame also, man, you've got to just think, man, we're like 2 plays from being undefeated right now. And they would be correct because they truly are. They're like 2 plays away from being undefeated right now. You look at they're 7-2, and I think have lost by like a combined 4 points. But you look after that game. They beat Purdue 56-30. They beat Arkansas 56-13. They beat Boise 28-7. They beat NC State 36-7. They beat USC 34-24, and they beat Boston College 25-10, beat Navy 49-10. They've steamrolled people outside of that USC game. And they got 3 games left. Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. They win them, they're in the playoff. And I think if you would have told Notre Dame fans, hey, you're still going to be in the playoff after an 0-2 start, I think any of them would have taken it. I don't think it matters where they play. I think they're just ready to go. Look, I like Pat Narduzzi. I like what he does. I think he's a really good coach, and I think he's brought Pitt back to some respectability. But Notre Dame's just going to out-talent them tomorrow. I don't think they can stop Jalen Love or Jeremiah Love and the backup. I think it's Jadarian Price. CJ Carris looks really good for Notre Dame. Really, really good. I mean, he's 2,200 yards, or almost 2,300 yards, 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. It's just really impressive how he has grown and what we've seen from him since week two against or those first 2 weeks against Miami and A&M. Bama OU, elimination game in a way. I think Bama would still be in. Even if they lost this one, I think they're still in with 2 losses. OU, they got to win this one. They have no room for error anymore. They got to win. They got a really impressive win at Tennessee. Make no mistake about it. Nobody gave them a chance. Everybody kind of had said, man, OU loses this one. Like, it's going to get dicey. Like, they could lose every game remaining. And, I mean, that's not going to happen. They're obviously going to beat Missouri because Missouri has no offense, literally, outside of Ahmad Hardy and the Roberts kid. And Brett Venables can scheme them. They got LSU after that. They'll beat LSU's eyes shut. LSU's terrible offensively right now. But I don't think that would be enough to get OU in. 9-3, I don't think gets them in. They've had a lot of chances to get some really good wins. But you look at, I mean, Michigan kind of faltered for them. Auburn faltered. Texas has been really good, but they needed that one. The loss didn't kill them. Big win at Tennessee, but I don't know. Alabama's really, really good right now in the first half. They are really, really average in the second half. I think Ty Simpson's really, really pushing a lot right now. I think he's trying to probably overcompensate for the lack of a running game and not really helping them in the second half. But I think he does enough in this one. I think Alabama wins this game. I think the line's 5.5. I'm not sure they cover. I think it could be a 3-point game, but that's going to be a tough environment for Oklahoma to go in and win. Oklahoma just has not been the Oklahoma that we saw and we've seen in spurts offensively. I think they're getting there. I think Metier has been better. I don't think he's been great. I mean, look, yeah, they went at Tennessee last week, but I mean, you look at the stats. I mean, you read these stats. Tennessee outgains them by 100 yards, outthrows them by over 200 yards. You know, I mean, Oklahoma ran the ball really good. Tennessee's three turnovers just killed them. The interceptions killed Tennessee, or they win that game. That's going to be one that's going to haunt Tennessee for a while. Just being honest with you, I think Alabama wins this. I really just kind of believe Oklahoma's a little bit fool's gold, and they'll be a fool's gold 9-3. But I got Bama in this one. It could be close. I don't see it though. I think Ryan Williams and Bernard have big days. I don't think Alabama gets the running game going, and I think that is will be eventually what ends their season. It's just the lack of a running game, but I think it's going to be enough. I think Ty Simpson and those receivers do enough tomorrow, and I think Kane Womack can do enough in the defense to stop OU tomorrow. Next game, USC Iowa. It's going to be ugly. I'll just tell you, it's going to be ugly. USC is going to win, but it's going to be like 18-16, like it was last week with Oregon. It's not going to be pretty, and maybe Iowa sneaks it out. It would, if you told me Iowa won, I would not be shocked. But in the Coliseum at 2:30, I got USC. I think they're able to do enough offensively to win that game. Really like actually what Lincoln has done with Jaden Maiva this year. I think he's been really good. Mekhi Lemon has been really, really solid for them. And then obviously King Miller, the walk-on, has been absolutely huge for them lately. I mean, just absolutely killing people right now. Four 300-yard games in his last four. He has been an absolute just steal for them. Iowa offensively, yeah, just probably better not to talk about Iowa offensively. Defensively, really good. Offensively, yeah, I mean, their leading receiver has 216 yards for the season. For the season, 216. Let that one sink in. Last game, Georgia, Texas, in Athens. I look. I really like what I've seen out of Texas the last 2 weeks. Got to see them a couple weeks ago in Starkville. They're really impressive. Part of a champion. You know, that they were down 17 twice, came back. You know, really really impressive to see what they've been doing. I think the line's holding up a little bit better for them. It's a little healthier. Arch finally looks to kind of be settling into things. But it's in Athens against Georgia, who's lost one home game in like 5 years. Give me Georgia. I think Georgia wins. I think Texas, their playoff hopes will end on Saturday. I say that. If they beat A&M, things could get squirrely. They could. I'll be honest with you. If they beat A&M, things could get squirrely. Our picks of the week, already talked about a couple of them. Notre Dame -12.5 at Pitt. That's just giving money to people. Notre Dame's going to win this game going away. I don't even think it's going to be close. Arkansas at LSU. I got the Hogs. LSU's not good offensively. Arkansas's not good on anything but offense. So give me the Hogs. Probably give me the over, but I don't know what the over is at. Let me look real quick because I would probably be definitely interested in whatever the over is, because I think Arkansas could probably hit it on their own. Let's see. It's 57.5. No, Arkansas couldn't hit that on their own. And honestly, Arkansas would have to score a lot of points. And LSU would have to score a lot of points, which I don't see that happening. So I'd probably take the under there. But give me the Hogs +4.5. This is kind of my pick that nobody would really say. Tennessee Tech going to Kentucky. Tennessee Tech is 10-0. I think they're number 3 or 4 in the FCS rankings. A 22.5 point dog at Kentucky, who up until last week had the most anemic offense in the SEC. I think they were just playing a checked out Florida team. Give me Tennessee Tech to cover. No way I did I say win, by the way, but give me them to cover. 22.5. I think they cover that. I talked about this one earlier. Bama -5.5 or so. You, I think they can do enough to win that by a touchdown. Really, really like what I've seen out of Cade Womack's defense so far this year, and I think they'll give John Mateer a lot of trouble tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Fifth game on the stretch here. We got North Carolina at Wake Forest. I'll be honest. I've been pleasantly surprised with North Carolina. They have recovered a little bit. They're looking a little bit better. They're looking really good defensively. Like they actually are. Like I think people are, you know, just kind of piling on the Belichick thing. But honestly, the best thing for them for the last like 2 or 3 weeks, they've been out of the news, which has been great for them. So give me North Carolina +5.5. I'm not saying they win. They found some weird ways to lose this year. Not saying they win, but I'm going to pick them +5.5. Then the last game, Ole Miss versus Florida. This is kind of where the animosity has been for this week. It is going to be a testy, testy, testy environment in Oxford this weekend. The library is going to be very feisty tonight. I know it was already feisty last night. I think it's going to be even feistier tonight, and I think all day tomorrow is just going to be a war. I think there will be multiple fights in the stadium. I think there will be a lot of built-up animosity. Ole Miss is an 11.5 point favorite. That line actually has gone down some. I like the Rebels, and I like the Rebels big. It's one of those Dave Portnoy's like love, 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 love thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I love Ole Miss because that'll probably get clipped into oblivion, but. I really like -11.5 right there. I think Ole Miss wins this thing by 3 or 4 touchdowns. If you told me Florida kept this close, you know, usually you say if you told me they keep it close, I wouldn't be shocked. No, if you told me Florida kept this close, I would be shocked. I really would. I would be shocked if you told me or if Florida kept this close, I would be shocked. I just do not see it. They are not good offensively. They were really bad defensively last week. They were good against Georgia, but you know, the thing with Ole Miss, I think Lane has done a good enough job of limiting Chambliss' mistakes and kind of leaning on Lacey. So I don't think Florida has chances for takeaways. So give me Florida. Or I'm sorry, give me Ole Miss and it's big. Last session of the week, our money line parlay of the week, starting tonight with Clemson. +105 against Louisville. I really like Clemson in this game. I do. I don't know why I like them, but I do. Moving on, we talked about it earlier in our picks. We are taking it to Arkansas to cover, and I'm also taking them. You know, give me the Hogs. Give me the Hogs to get that one done. I think they win. That's +160. And then our last is Memphis. Why is Memphis a road dog? I have absolutely no clue, but they are at +125 on the road at East Carolina. Like, I mean, I just like, yeah, they lost last week. Okay, they played kind of bad, but man, they didn't play that bad. Like, I don't think they played bad enough to be like a road dog. So yeah, give me Memphis. That is a +1099 total parlay. So give me that. That's our parlay for the week. And on that note, that is our podcast for the week. Look, enjoy this time. We've only got 3 weeks left of regular season college football, then we'll have the playoffs. Enjoy this crazy coaching season because it is crazy. It's fun to watch. It's especially fun when your team's not in it. But we'll leave you in the words of the great Matt Moscona. Believe nothing. Consider everything. Have a great week. Hope your teams all win, unless you are Missouri because they're playing my dogs. So we really need a win. Missouri, please let us win.